All right, we're going to begin here on the top of Chet Amud Aleph. Here the Mishnah is continuing much of what we saw in yesterday's daf, because yesterday's daf quoted lines from the Mishnah, so therefore it's a similar genre of halachot that we've seen before, which is Harini Nazir, Kase Aroshi, Uke Afar Haaretz, Uke Chol Hayam. Person takes a Neder Nizirut that is predicated on items that are innumerable, immeasurable, like my hair, the dirt of the ground, the chol hayam, the sand on the beaches. Harizeh, nazir olam. This person is a nazir olam. Umigaleach, achat lishoshim yom. And therefore, he cuts his hair and brings korbanot every 30 days. So the Tanna Kamma believes that when a person does this, he is not giving you the duration of the nizirut, but rather the number of niziriot that this individual took. So he has immeasurable or innumerable amounts of Niziriot, but it's every 30 days. So he'll just cycle every 30 days through doing a new Neder Nizirut. He'll bring his Korbanot, then he'll finish up that Nizirut, and the next day he'll start the next one after that, and it'll continue on and on and on. Rabbi Omer, Ein Zeh Megaleach Achat L'Shloshim Yom. That's not a person who does it every 30 days, meaning that Rabbi does not think that this individual actually just made a Neder Nizirut that is enumerating the number of Niziriot that he took, but rather, he's taking the Nizirut based on that duration. Over here, there's a machloket in the Rishonim as to what Rabbi really thinks happens over here. The Mefaresh, and so Tosafot, Rosh, many of the Rishonim believe, ve'ein yachol ashlima, ve'einu megaleach de'olam, that you can never finish it. It's a Nizirut that is beyond anyone's lifespan, but it is a single Nizirut. And in a single Nizirut, you don't have a right to cut your hair, and you don't have any rights to terminate along the way. You'll just be a Nazir forever. As opposed to that, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot says over here that this guy has a din zirulam shigaleach mishnei masar chodesh l'shnei masar chodesh. He becomes like a Nazir olam in this case, rather than a Nazir of a single duration. And what Rabbi is suggesting over here is that he's a Nazir olam like Avshalom, and therefore he can cut his hair every 12 months or whatever the machloket we saw before based on that machloket. Obviously the other Rishonim disagree with this position and believe that when he says, Rabbi says this is not a numeration of the number of Nizirot, it just means that it's a single long Nizirot in which the individual can never end the Nizirot. Then, Vezulu Megaleach Achat L'Shloshim. So according to Rabbi, what is the case where a person really is enumerating the number of Niziriot that he's taken? Omer, Hare Alay Nizirot Kisear Roshi. The formulation is slightly different, not Hare E Nazir, I am a Nazir, and then giving you a number, but rather, Hare Alay Nizirot, I'm accepting Niziriot. Here, it sounds like he's accepting Niziriot, and then here's the number of times that I'm doing that, which is Kisear Roshi, Uke Afar Aretz, Uke Chol Hayam. So that's where Rabbi thinks that you have this differentiation or this delineation there. It's interesting here, the Rosh points out, according to the Tanna Kamma, he says this is different than a Nazir Olam, because Nazir Olam, based on the Machloket we saw before, can be Mekel Betar in an interval over a week, a month, or 12 months. We saw that Machloket. That's all he can do is be Mekel Betar and bring his Korbanon. But according to this, every 30 days, he cuts, does a full cut, a full Giluach, a full shaving of his head, and brings korbanot. Now what the Rosh asks over here is, by the case of Nazir Olam, you have a choice. You want to do it at those intervals and be Mekel Betar, so it's your choice. You don't want to do that, you want to remain a Nazir and not do anything, also your choice. In our instance over here, this individual, does he have a right to make such a decision? He has an obligation now to enumerate Nizirut achan Nizirut achan Nizirut, so that each one of them is a separate Nizirut, and he has to bring a korban and finish off, start the next one, finish off, start the next one. What happens if he just decides on the first Nizirut not to terminate it? He just keeps going with the first Nizirut, which a person is entitled to do. A person that isn't obligated to terminate their Nizirut, the only obligation they have is not to be in violation of Baal Te'acher. So that means that he could basically hold out on every Nizirut about a year, because it's three regalim. So he could hold out on each one a year, it'll save himself, instead of having to bring 12 korbanot and 12 niziriot each year, he'd only have to do one. So the Rosh says, does he have an option to do that? Can he just hold out on the nizirut so the next one doesn't start? Is he allowed to do that? He says, "V'ha'm speikeli im yirtzei lamod b'nezirutu b'lo havat korban zman gadol v'rak shlo yavar abal te'acher al korbanot sheitchayiv im reshut b'yadol." Does he have a right to do that? Similar to the way that a nazir olam would do that. Oh, dilma kevin shekibel alav nezirot kol yomav chayav hu lashlim nezirot zu miyad u'latchil acheret. Or do we say because he accepted so many of these different Niziriot, we want him to discharge the obligation. Discharging the obligation means expedience. You gotta keep doing them. Third one after the next, one after the next. Vadat note kach. I think that probably is the right explanation. Kevin Jikoyamav Umichayev Nizirot Ain Lola Acher Melashlim Kol Mashi Yuchal. You gotta do the best you can, and you gotta try to accomplish as many as you can, and therefore we would push him to do it in such a manner that it would be expedient in reaching the next Neder Nizirut, and therefore he would go every 30 days and he wouldn't be able to postpone it. Now we have the next one. Hareni Nazir, Milo Habayit, O Milo Akupa. Person says, I'm a Nazir, full of the house, or the basket full. Now, as Tosfo points out over here, we're talking about a case where they're empty. The basket's empty or the house is empty, and that's why we don't know what exactly he meant. If they were full of something, whether it was the house or the basket, then we would just assume whatever the item is inside that basket or the house, that's the number of times that this person wants to do whatever he's trying to do. But Kimoto, we check him out. Im amar achat gedola nazarti. Then, if he says, I was saying, I wanted to say like one big one, like that, then nazir damajom. Then he's a 30-day nazir, similar to what we saw in the previous daf, where he says, Haredi nazir achat gedola. Where he says, I'm one big nazir. Well, one big nazir. Nazir doesn't come in big and small forms. It only comes in one form. That's 30 days. The same thing over here. When he says, I'm going to take on a nazir like the basketball. And over there, he just meant to say it means it feels like to me like a huge amount or it's a really big nazirut. All he does is 30 days. V'yamar stam nazarti. If he says, I didn't have anything in mind. Or the way that the Rosh says it, I had intended for the Chachamim to tell me what I meant. We look at the basket, it's full of mustard seeds. Benazir kol yamav. And then he is a nazir for the remainder of his lifetime. And it will be subject to the machloka that we saw before between the Tanakama and Rabbi as to whether that means you have numerous nidre niziriot based on the number of items that are here, or you have one neder nizirot whose duration is based on the number of items that we have over here. Or according to the Rambam, it would be a Nazir Olam, according to Rabbi, where he would cut his hair every 12 months. Although from the Rambam, it seems like that might even be the position of the Tanakama here. And therefore, there are those, like the Meiri, who suggest that everybody would agree here to Rabbi's position because the kupa, the basket itself, is a unifying force over here, which would make it that we won't call it that these are discrete or separately enumerated types of niziriot, but rather that this is one big nizirut, and we're talking about the duration of the item. Therefore, everybody will believe that this is a nazir olam or a nazir le olam, depending on whether you subscribe to the Rosh or the Rambam's position. Or possibly that it's just one nizirut of 30 days. Areni nazir mikan avamakom ploni. He says that I'm a nazir from here until that location. Omdim kama yamim mikan amakom ploni. Then we assess what is the travel, the journey time between these two locations. Ime pachot mi lamed yom. If it's less than 30 days, nazir lamed yom. Then he has a minimum, a nazir of 30 days, because you can't have less than 30 days. Bimlav, if not, meaning that's greater than 30 days, nazir kiminyan ayamim. Then he's a nazir based on the number of days. As we saw yesterday, the Gemara makes an ukimta that this is only a case, shehichzik baderach, that he already was on the way. And since he's on the way, then our assumption is that he wants to be a nazir for the duration of his trip or the days of his trip because he feels like he's bisakana or he wants the protection of that nizirut. Therefore, he ties the duration of the nizirut to the number of days that he will be traveling because there's an association between that protection that he is seeking and the number of days that he is going to travel. On the other hand, if he's lohechzik baderech, if he's yet to get on the way, then we said anytime you have items that have discrete count to them and are finite in number, according to one answer on the previous Amud, or according to the other answer where days are not seen to be discrete items because it's just one long continuum, then in that instance, he would only have to keep a 30-day nizirut because his statement would mean either this is burdensome to me, like the number of days that it takes from such a location to the other location, or if we say that the days are not considered to be discrete items, then he only accepted upon himself one nether nizirut for 30 days. Hareini nazir kiminyan yimot hachama. If he says that I'm a nazir like the days of the year, mone nizirut kiminyan yimot hachama. 20 to the Tanakhama. It's 30 days times 365. 365 times you do 30-day nizirut, because he's saying, I want to be mekabel myself, nidre nizirut, 365 times. So that's 365 times 30, but basically roughly 30 and a half years that he's going to be a nazir. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, maseh haya, there was an instance like this, kevin shishlim meit. An individual made a neder nizirut like this, and he went through his cycles for 30 and a half years, and then he died at the termination at that point. So now Rabbi Huda, we're going to see in the Gemara, is supporting the Tanakhama's position, because Rabbi disagrees with the Tanakhama in this case. The Rabbi again believes that when you do this, you're speaking about a single neder nizirut, in which you're giving me the duration of that neder nizirut. We'll see. Based on that there are different opinions within the Mefarshim as to what the duration of that Nizirut is. It could be one of three different approaches, which we'll see in the Rishonim. One is, it's 365 days long, according to Rabbi, or it is 365 times 30 days long. That's how long the Nizirut is. Or 365 times 365, one of those two, which would give you the duration of it. Or the last possibility is that it means I'm Nizirut as long as the sun is shining. As long as the sun is shining, Nizirut means I'm Nizir forever. So one of those three approaches is the explanation according to Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda comes to say that Rabbi's, that can't be right because we have an instance where a guy finished. And you can only be finished if, depending on the explanation that you gave there, in the version of the Tanakhama's explanation and not an explanation of Rabbi. So we'll get to that in the Gemara. All right, so now the Gemara says, Ro'im et akupa, ki ilu mleach hardal, for nazir ko yamav. But look at the basket, as if it's full of mustard seeds, and now he's nazir for his whole life. Vamai! Why should that be the case? V'lech say, ki ilu mleach kishuin vidiluin. Why don't we look for something a little bigger, like gourds or zucchinis? V'davi le takanto. And then this guy will have a visible end to his neder nizirut. If you see the mifareish, lai kupa. Kilum leya kishuim imachaz kaminayu yud neima de yud nizirot shoshloshim shloshim kibelalav, that he actually meant to keep 10 nizirot that are 30 days in duration. You know, he'd be finished in 10 months then, and it wouldn't be such a burden. Why are we assuming that he's chardal, which basically means that he's going to be a nazir cycling through on 30 day intervals for the rest of his life? Amar Chizkiya b'machloket shnuya. That this actually is a machloket, what to do here. V'Rabbi Shimon hi. And our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon. Damar, Adam machnis etzamo, the davar shesfeko chamur. Mivadai. That a person will put themselves in a predicament in which the safek will actually turn out to be chamur, or more stringent than had we had clarification on what he meant. Than the case where he actually clarified what he meant, or where we know what he meant. Titanio, we had this, Masechet Nidarim. He says, I'm a nazir if this pile has 100 kur in it. Then he goes to check out the pile and he finds out that it was stolen or lost. So now we do not know whether in that instance he's a nazir or not. We don't know if the pile contained 100 or didn't contain 100. Rabbi Shimon Oser, Bishimon says he's stuck now. She's a fake nizirut lehachmir. And when you have a safek by nizirut, we go to chumra. So the chumra means that he is going to be a nazir. Rabbi Yehuda matir she's a fake nizirut akel. In that case, we'll say that the safek is akel. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's easy to understand because safek nizirut, a person won't put themselves into a position where they can't clarify the situation. They only meant to take a neder nizirut in a situation in which it's clear to them what the obligation is that they have undertaken, or the obligation that they've entered into, and that might also be part of hafla'ah, the need to articulate or have a clear visibility into what you are saying when it comes to neder nizirut. Therefore, in this instance where we can't clarify the information, we assume that he meant not to take the neder nizirut. Because he meant, if I find 100, then that's it. If I don't find 100, then no nizirut. So now where he can't find out the information, it's as if he can't find out if there's 100, and that means no neder nizirut. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, person, in his essence, wants to engage in nizirut. And since he wants to engage in nizirut, we'll even do it in a case where the safek will become more chamor than the vadai. Now here the Rishonim ask, why is it that the safek is more chamor than vadai? What's the vadai scenario? That he accepted a neder nizirut. So now he's in nazir for a cycle. 30 days. That's not so difficult. Now we have a safek. We're not sure if he is a nazir. He's going to be machmir on himself and endure a 30-day nizirut. He'll make a tanai. He'll say that if I'm chayav and nizirut, then I'm already nazir. If not, I'm now accepting upon myself a neder nizirut. And he'll be no worse than the scenario of vadai. Why is the safek worse than the vadai? The safek is just like the vadai. And therefore, why do you say safeko chamur mi vadai? So Tosafot over here comes up with a scenario in which the situation would be worse, which is, v'im tomar v'may safeko chamur vadai aru niftar nizirut achat u'b'korban achad. If we knew for sure there was 100 kor there, you'd do one nizirut. Now that's a safek, he's going to do one nizirut. That a case where he became tamei prior to accepting that new nizirut. Remember, he said the solution for him is safek is to say, if I'm a nazir, then fine. If I'm not a nazir, then I'm accepting upon myself a nizirut. That's night will make him chayav and one nizirut no matter what. If prior to articulating that condition, he became tamei. Now he is stuck for life. Because what's he going to do? He's tamei. He doesn't know if he's a nazir. If he's a nazir, then he has to bring the korbanot tuma of a nazir, and then go on to count his nazirut bitara. On the other hand, if he's not a nazir, then he can't bring the korbanot nizirut bituma, because that's maybe chulin nazara. He can't bring them voluntarily, because there's a chatat. They're involved, and you can't bring a chatat voluntarily. So now, if he's not a nazir, he can't bring the korbanot nizirut bituma, and now he's stuck because he can't start the new nizirut until he clarifies that safek. So that would be a situation that he'll be stuck for life in this situation where he is basically a nazir tameh, and he can't do anything. He can't complete his nizirut because he can't get beyond this point of being a safek nazir tameh, because there is no solution for him to get out of that problem. Can't start any nizirut because he might be tameh. He might not need to start any nizirut because he was never a nazir, but that safek leaves him in a bind where he can't get out of it. So that's how Tosafot comes up with the scenario where the safek will actually be more chamur than the vadai. But what you see here is a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda as to a person's intent in these scenarios. And so what we're suggesting over here is that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon according to Chizkiah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case that is premised on Rabbi Shimon's Shita. And therefore, he has here a safek. Because whether it's filled with zucchinis or gourds, or whether it's filled with chardal, he has now a safek where he have to engage in nidrei nizirot. And so fine, ein ochanami, let us say that he has zucchinis in there, and let us say he has kishuim in there. But it's equally plausible that he meant mustard seeds. So even when he finishes up 10 nidrei nizirut, we can't say he's done, because it's equally plausible that he was talking about chardal. So ein ochanami, you're right. Could be that it was talking about full of pomegranates, full of gourds, or full of mustard seeds, but we don't know which one it is. So since we don't know which one it is, we go, l'chumrah. The chumrah would say that you have to keep keeping nidrei nizirut like it is, as if it's chardal. Whereas Rabbi Huda would disagree and say a person doesn't put themselves into a safek, and therefore, we would assume either there is no neder nizirut here because we don't know the answer, or we would go to the kula side and say that we would pick the least amount of nizirut that would be reasonable to assume in this situation. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu teimer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda might agree in our case. Hatam lo nachit leilin nizirut, hacha nachit leilin nizirut. There's a difference between the case that is brought from the Tosefta, where the person now is engaging in accepting a neder nizirut. In that case, there's a safek. Is he a nazir or is he not a nazir? In the case when you're dealing with a person, whether he is or is not a nazir, Rabbi Shimon says the chumrah, he is a nazir. Rabbi Yehuda says the kula, person doesn't put themselves into nizirut Bisafek. Either they are or they aren't the Nazir. They don't leave themselves in this limbo state where it could cause them problems, or they just don't accept Nazirut in that scenario. But that's because the options are binary here, which is it's on and off. Yes, he's a Nazir. No, he's not a Nazir. In that case, he says Safek Da'akel. On the other hand, in our scenario here, we know he is a Nazir. It's not a question that he is a Nazir. It's only a question of how many times he will be a Nazir. So in that case, Rabbi Yochanan suggests that Rabbi Yehuda would agree we go to Chumrah. Because here the question is no longer about Safek Nizirut Akel, which is, are you a Nazir or not a Nazir? Here you are a Nazir, it's just a question of how many times you're going to be a Nazir. So, Hacha Nachilei Nizirut, B'mai Lisluke Minei. Why would you remove him from it? Or what would release him from the item? I mean, what's the reason to go to Kula now, once we know he already is a Nazir? What's the impetus to say that he meant the least and not the most? Again, when you're talking about entering the Zirut, you can make a claim that a person doesn't put themselves into these precarious situations and would not enter in the Zirut in that manner. But here, where he's already entered into the Zirut, then where do you have a, why would you assume that he meant the least and not the most? Or how do you know what he meant? Even if we don't know what he meant, the Safek should leave him in a scenario where he has to keep the most anyway, because we just don't know. So when it says, am I low? Why not? Let us say that there is a big difference, because if you say that it's filled with gourds or zucchinis, which are measurable, numerable, and he can then keep the number of Nidrei Nizirut based on the number of items in there, and it will terminate at a time when it's still before his life has expired. So therefore, in that case, he has a takanta. He has a way to emerge from the Nizirut. So why wouldn't we say in that case also that his mindset will be, I meant to only enter into a Nizirut, which I can exit from, or that I can complete. On the other hand, I don't want to be engaged in Nizirut, the one that makes it into mustard seeds, where there's never going to be an exit from it. I, for the rest of my life, will be stuck in this scenario. So ha, salkadatcha Nizirut u dekabel ilavei. So now, this either is the beginning of an answer, according to the Mifaresh, or, according to the Balei HaTosafot, this is a continuation of the question. Then, if you want to say that, you want to assume that he accepted upon himself Nizirut, that he accepted upon himself multiple Nidrei Nizirut, and therefore, you want to assume that he did it in a manner that would allow him to exit from the problem and not be permanently stuck in this situation. Whereas the Mefaresh says, ha, sakadatcha nizirot hu dekebelele? You thought that what Rabbi Yehuda meant over here was that he's accepting multiple nidrei nizirot upon himself? No, the Rabbi Yehuda savrala ke rabbi. Or here is the beginning of the answer according to the Balei HaTosafot, which is, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi. Remember, Rabbi in our Mishnah says, when you take a Nidrei Nizirut like this, you're not enumerating the number of Nidrei Nizirut that you have, but rather the duration of the Nizirut. And therefore, over there, duration of Nizirut, we would say that Rabbi Yehuda would go L'Chumra. And since he would go L'Chumra, that would mean that we would assume that it's the number of days that you're keeping this as mustard seeds-wise, not Dulim or Kishuim. Because over there, again, in both instances, you would emerge, likely emerge from the Nizirut before one passed away, because no matter how many mustard seeds are in there, it's not likely to exceed one's lifetime, because we're talking about days here, rather than 30-day intervals. If you're talking about multiple Nidrei Nizirut, then you're talking about 30 times the number in there. That duration is significantly larger than if you're just talking about the plain days. So what we're saying is Rabbi Yehuda over here holds like Rabbi, and since he holds like Rabbi, then you entered into a Nizirut for sure. The only question we have now is, what is the duration of that Nizirut? Well, is it the number of gourds in there or the number of mustard seeds? Over there, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda will be no to the Chumrah, because you're already in the Nizirut. Both of them will allow you to emerge, and since both of them will allow you to emerge, we assume that he meant the Chumrah. Or in essence, when he takes a netted Nizirut, and we are enumerating the number of Nidrei Nizirut that he is going to engage in, whether that means the amount of gourds or zucchinis that were there versus the number of mustard seeds that are there, each time that he engages in a new neder nizirut, that's a new start. And whether he engages or doesn't engage in that new item, that is a safek of entering into a nizirut. Therefore, when he completes the cycle of the number of gourds or zucchinis that were in the basket, now when he starts down a path to now become a nazir for the number of mustard seeds, that's a new question, whether he is or is not a nazir. And over there, Rabbi Huda is the hakel. On the other hand, if you say that Rabbi Huda holds like Rabbi, which is that we're talking about a single long duration nizirut over here, whether that duration is a number of days, like the number of zucchinis or gourds that are in the basket, or whether that is an endless number of days based on the number of mustard seeds in there, there's only one or neder nizirut that you've entered into, and you are a nazir for sure. The only question now is duration. That means that the question is not whether you are or not a nazir, but rather that you are a nazir, what is the duration? And in that case of duration, we will say safek the chumrah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you will keep or maintain your status as a nazir and continue to be a nazir even past the number of days that are delineated by the zucchinis or the gourds, up to the days that are delineated by the mustard seeds that are there, which most likely will be for the rest of his life.
So when it says, Ditznan, Rabbi Omer, Ein ze megaleh chachat l'shloshim yom.
That's Rabbi in our Mishnah, who says when you say, Harei alai ke, Harei nazir ke se'ar roshi, and so on and so forth, you're not enumerating the number of nidrei nizriyot that you're taking, but rather the duration of the nizirut. Blazer she megaleh chachat l'shloshim yom, and then he gives an example. When's that? Omer, Harei alai nizirot ke se'ar roshi u kafar ra'at z'chol ayam. For Rabbi Yehuda, me sovel like Rabbi. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold like Rabbi? Batanan. Hareini nazir kiminyan milto chama. That I'm a nazir like the days of the year. V'chulei. Amar Rabbi Yehuda maseh hayav v'kevin shishlim meit. Was an example like this. And when he finished up this neder nizirut, he passed away. Some of the mefarshim point out that the nizirut protected him. And as soon as the nizirut terminated, then he passed away. But the fact that he could terminate it and finish it within his lifetime, I amart bishlama nizirut kamikabalalei, that he is accepting upon himself the number of niziriot, hainu taima de kevin de ishlim meit, that it makes sense that he died because 365 times 30, that would give you 30 and a half years worth of niziriot, and he could have easily encompassed that in his lifetime and then passed away at the end of that period of time. That's not an unreasonable assumption. Eliyamart chada nizirut kibeli lavei, if you were saying that he accepted one nizirut, that is, of this duration, mi hava hashlama klal. Since when is that terminated? When is that an end? So now over here, as I mentioned in the Mishnah, it's not clear what the Gemara means here, that ein lo hashlama klal. Why is it so obvious that there's no end to it? Because you have a duration that is manageable, possibly. And so why is there no end to it? There are a number of ways to approach this. One of the approaches that the Rosh mentions over here, that is, the cholatar de mighty maseh, the siyuye maseh velolistor. That any time a Mishnah brings an example, which is a real-life example, real-life examples are lacha lemaseh, are always supportive of the position beforehand, and not rejecting the previous statement. And since the last statement we have in the Mishnah is the position of the Chachamim, it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to support the position of the Chachamim, and not to support the position of Rabbi, which means that he argues on Rabbi. That's number one. The other possibility is that when you talk about taking a neder nizirut that is 365 days long, let's say that's what Rabbi says, 365 days long. You could finish that. You could have hashlama to that. But that's not called hashlama. Hashlama, to complete something, is when you talk about a large cycle of items, then you talk about completion. I accepted 365 30-day nizirut upon myself, and then you finish that. That's called finishing. That's a completion, right? That's like making a siyum hashas, which is that I've done a number of mesechtot, and then that's hashlama. You do one mesechta, it's called a siyum, but you wouldn't call that finishing. You wouldn't call that a completion because it's just one item. And therefore, some of the Rishonim explain that even though Rabbi says 365 days, and that'll finish within the year, you'll finish it after 1 year, that's not called hashlama because you just finished one item. You didn't finish a whole cycle of items. The other way that the Rishonim say it, and this is what I pointed out before, that they meant when he says you take one long nizirut, that means you take a nizirut, according to the Mifresh, that is 365
65 days times 365 days, or possibly 365 days times 30, which is some of the other Mefarshim bring down. And since those are durations that are extreme or long, then we don't talk about Hashlama in that case, because it's unlikely that he would finish up in his Zirut like that. If it's 365 times 365, for sure he won't finish it up. If it's a case where it's 365 times 30, then you would have to say the same thing we said in the previous case, which is that it's not called Hashlama since it's one Neder Nezirut and not multiple Nidrei Nezirut. And then the Mefaresh brings the last interpretation, which is Lishna Achrina Vatanya Reina Nazir Kiminyani Motachama Klomar Kozman Shechama Zorachat. As long as the sun is shining on the earth, Dainuat Sofa Olam. That means forever. And that's what Rabbi means over here, forever. And that's why there's no Hashlama, because you never finish such a Neder Nezirut or something of that duration. So depending on what you think Rabbi's opinion is, in all those cases, you have to explain why Hashlama in that case is not relevant by Rabbi's position, where it is relevant by the Chachamim's position. But no matter what, the Gemara shows you that Rabbi Yehuda is supportive of the position of the Chachamim, not Rabbi. And how can Rabbi Yochanan over here suggest that Rabbi Yehuda is subscribing to the position of Rabbi? Va'od, on top of that, Misavar Laka Rabbi, does he really hold like Rabbi? V'ha'atanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arini Nazir Minyan Hilketei Kayitz. Uminyan, here there's a question about the Girsa, whether it's Shvilei or Shibalei Shmita. Mone Nizirot, Kiminyan Hilketei Kayitz, Kiminyan Shibalei or Shvilei Shmita. So over here, the person takes an Eden Nizirot similar to what is in our Mishnah. Arini Nazir Kiminyan Yimotachama. So over here, instead of using Yimotachama, he says Kiminyan Hilketei Kayitz. Hilketei Kayitz, the main interpretation brought by the Rishonim over here, is that means the pathways of this summer, or the pathways of the drying out of the fruits, which is that in the fields are full of fruits that are piled up out there, which is the kayitz. The kayitz is both the summer, but the kayitz is also the drying out of the fruits in the fields. And so they're drying out the fruits. They make pathways through these dry fruits in order to maintain them and to take care of them. So there are endless pathways in the fields. And when he says Hilketei Kayitz, that's what he means. I'm going to take on myself Nidrei Nezirot, the number of times that there are pathways in the fields during the Kayitz. That's one of them. The other possibility you could see is brought by the Balei HaTosafot over here. Shabshim Ateinim Osim Tilim Tilim Miteinim Liabesh Adein Mispar. To make piles and piles of figs in order to dry them out. And therefore there are endless piles of figs that are out there. So either, you can see that the Rosh quotes this in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, that it means endless piles of drying figs, or the way that the others explain it, the Mefaresh brings, the Tosafot brings the other interpretation, it means the number of pathways through these drying figs. And again, both of those are innumerable, there are just so many of them. And then we said, ke shibolei shmita. Shibolei shmita would be that which grows in the Shemitah year. Well, in the Shemitah year, you don't plant. What grows is a finite amount of shibboleth stalks that come up during the year that were left over from the previous year. But since he said shibboleth shmitah, it means all the stalks that are around in the world from shmitah. Well, that's again, an immeasurable, innumerable number. That's what he meant. Or others say shvilei shmitah. The pathways of the shmitah, which are that during the shmitah year, the fields are hefker. So everybody walks in shortcuts through the fields because it's the summertime and the fields are dry and there's nothing planted there, so they can make pathways through the fields. So since the fields are hefker, there are lots of paths through the fields, and again, something that is extreme. But what you see from this is the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says when you say Kiminyan Miltachama, he means that means the number of 30-day Nizirot that you took, not the duration of the Nizirut. And that would disagree with Rabbi. Rabbi clearly disagrees. Minyan Shiny. Minyan is different. When you use the word minyan, the Gemara here suggests, just like Rabbi Yehuda says that he agrees with the Chachamim over here, so too, that's what Tosafot says, so too Rabbi would agree in this case that that means number of Nizirot and not the duration of the Nizirot. Umi shani le Rabbi minyan, does Rabbi really differentiate between the word minyan and what we said earlier in the Mishnah, Hareini Nazir? Batanyo, we have a Tosaf, Hareini Nazir ki minyan yimotachama. Mone Nizirot Kiminyani Motachama. That's the Tanakama of our Mishnah. That's the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Here's to your question. Kimei Alivana. If he does it based on the days of the lunar year, Moneh kimeya levanad, and it's 354, not 365. Rabbi Omer, ad shimar nizirot alai kiminyan imot hachama. So you see, Rabbi argues on the second half of the Mishnah, just like he argues on the first half of the Mishnah, until he accepts nizirot alai. I'm accepting this many nizirot, I mean, not one single nizirot. Ukiminyan imot levanad, then that's the case. So my answer is, Rabbi Yehuda sabarla kivate bechada, upoligale bechada. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Rabbi's position in one instance, but does not subscribe to Rabbi's position in another instance. That when you use the term Arini Nazir Nizirut Kabil Ilave, then he accepted upon himself one long Nizirut. Upoligale Bechado, and he argues him on this point, Ila Rabbi Yehuda Shanile Moneh, Rabbi Lo Shanile Moneh. That Rabbi Yehuda believes that the word Minyan changes the situation, whereas Rabbi says the word Minyan does not change the situation. Therefore, we have three opinions. The Rosh points out over here, we have three Tanaim in our Mishnah. There are the Chachamim who believe that no matter what you say, whether you say Hare Alai Nizirot, or you say Hareini Nazir, doesn't matter how you express it, it always means the number of Nizirot that you are taking. You take 30 days and you multiply it, and that's the number of Nidre Nizirot that you're going to have to keep. Rabbi believes, no matter what you say, whether it's Hareini Nazir or Hareini Nazir Kiminyan, it always means the duration of the Nizirot, with the exception of the case where you say, Hare Alai Nizirot Ki, and then that would make it into the number of Nizirot. Rabbi Yehuda is a third opinion, which will say, if you use Hareini Nazir, then I agree with Rabbi that means duration of the Nizirot, not the number of Nizirot. On the other hand, if you use the terminology Kiminyan, like the number of is not telling you the duration, but rather telling you the enumeration of the number of Nizirot that you're taking. And therefore you say, Kiminyan Yemot HaChama, that's 365 times 30, that is not the duration of Nizirot, that's 365 Nizirot of 30 days. And so he disagrees in that case. Therefore, for Rabbi Yochanan, that would work out now. He can say, our Mishnah is even authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Before we said, according to Chizki, our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon, who says that you enter yourself into a Safek, it's the Chumrah, in Nizirut, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. That's what our Mishnah is saying. When you say you have a basket full of something, then that basket full of something, we're going to go to Chumrah and assume that it is mustard seeds that are in there. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kula, we're not going to assume that. And that's why the Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shimon. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no. Rabbi Yehuda might agree in this case. Why does Rabbi Yehuda agree in this case? Because in the case of the Tosefta that we brought, where he says a Nazir, if it's 100 in the pile and the pile's gone, over there, we have a safek, whether he is a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. In that case, we go to Kula and say he doesn't enter into Nizirut. In our scenario in the Mishnah, we know he is a Nazir. The only question is, now we know, right, how long is he a Nazir for? Or what's the duration of his Nizirut over here? So the Gemara says, why does it make a difference? Because in the case where, if he wants to, how long is he a Nazir, you're going to go to Chumrah, that means either mustard seeds times 30 days, or it's going to be gourds times 30 days, and that'll be the number of Nizirot that he'll take. And since there's no way to know, but he's already a Nazir, we're going to go to Chumrah, and Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that. The Gemara says there is a difference between them, and Rabbi Yehuda might see a difference, which is that if you say that it's the number of gourds times 30 days versus the mustard seeds times 30 days, number of gourds times 30 days, he has a chance of emerging from that Nizirut. 10 times 30, he could finish in a year, less than a year. Mustard seeds times 30 days, he's not going to finish over his lifetime. So if you say to me that, Rabbi Yehuda, when I have a choice between a finite or discrete Nizirut versus endless, you know, Nizirut, then we would say that he does 10 times 30 versus mustard seeds times 30. We would still think that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we go Safek Tekula. Rabbi says, you got it wrong. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda likes Rabbi, which means that we're talking about here the duration of the Nizirut, and not the number of Nizirot that you're taking over here. And now we just proved that Rabbi Yehuda could hold like Rabbi in the first part of the Mishnah. Not in the second half of the Mishnah, because therefore Zoe brings a proof to the sheet of the Chachamim. And we have a bright that it clearly says that Rabbi Yehuda believes that when you say Kiminyan, it means number of Nizirot that you're taking. But that is only in the safe of the Mishnah. But in the ratio of the Mishnah, he agrees with Rabbi that we're talking about duration. Now you're talking about duration, the question is, how long is this Nizirot? Is this Nizirot 10 days? Or is it mustard seeds, say 1,000 days? Both of those are finite Nizirot. It's a finite Neder Nizirut, and it'll emerge from it. One will emerge from faster, one will emerge from later. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, we go to Chumrah. Because in there, you're definitely a Nazir, It's only a question of duration. One is shorter, one is longer. They're both a neder nizirut that you would emerge from. And since you would emerge from it, we go to chumrah, because there's no reason to believe that he meant the kula. In cases where either it's binary, where it's on or off, Rabbi is going to say the kula. No nizirut here. Or even in a case where you say it's the number of nidre niziriot, over there Rabbi Yehuda will go to kula. Because in a case of 10, you will emerge after 10 months. You will do 10 cycles of nizirut, and you'll be out. On the other hand, if you say mustard seeds, you're going to do 1,000 cycles of 30 days. You're not coming out of that before you pass away. And therefore, he would not agree that that's the chumrah. He'd go to kula there as well. But in our case, if he holds like Rabbi, all you're talking about is duration. When it comes to duration, you can argue duration short, duration long, no difference, because in both cases, you're a nazir, and in both cases, you will emerge in your lifetime. There, he will go to chumrah. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, our Mishnah, when it says, melo kupa, or melo bayit, by the way, there's an alternate girsa, which is melo chavit, which would make a lot more sense than melo bayit, then we would go to chumrah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Tarabanan, Arani Nazir, Kol Yimei Chayai. Person says that I am a Nazir all my lifetime. Arani Nazir Olam. I am a Nazir Olam. Arani Nazir Olam. Then he is a Nazir Olam, which is a Nazir like of Shalom, which means that he's a Nazir for the remainder of his lifetime, but he has this ability to lighten his hair at the intervals, based on the machloka we saw before, 7 days, 30 days, 1 year. He has this ability, when he wants to, or so chooses to lighten off his hair and bring korbanot, and then continue with his neder nizirut, but he would be a nazir olam. On the other hand, afilu me'ashana, afilu elef shanim, he says that he's a nazir for 100 years, or for 1,000 years, ain't ze nazir olam. Then he's not a nazir olam, elo nazir le'olam, which was the distinction that we saw in yesterday's daf. Nazir olam is like a nazir of shalom. Nazir le'olam means that you are nazir forever. One single nizirut forever. You cannot cut your hair ever. You cannot do any korbanot in the middle. You are stuck in the nizirut, a single nizirut with no termination to it. Why no termination? Because the duration of nizirut exceeds your lifetime. 100 years, 1,000 years, the person's never going to complete this neder nizirut. And therefore, they're nazir without any option for lightening their hair or bringing korbanot in the middle of this. Tarabanan. Hareini nazir ve'achat. He says, I am a nazir plus one. Munesh time. Then you count two nidrei niziriot. Meaning that 30 days and then 30 days. Bring korbanot in the middle and then you start the second one. Ve'od. If he says, Hareini nazir ve'achat ve'od. I'm a nazir plus one and more. Then he is munesh alosh. That's three. Veshuv. If he adds on the word shuv, he says, Arei Nazir v'achat v'od v'shuv. All of those, then he is a Moneh Arba. Then he's four times he's a Nazir. Pshita. What's the question here? Every time he adds a word, he intends to accept another Neder Nizirut. So what's the big deal? Ma'udutim, I would have thought the word v'shuv means and again. Again means, I took three. Shuv means multiply another three, and it means six. Kikulu means like all the ones before. The Ruosh points out over here that the Gemara could have said this about the word v'od also. Not about Vesuv, but old means, and more. More means the first two times two. So you could have asked the same question there. Probably sheet, and there would be six, kamashman, delo. And when he says va'od and Vesuv, it just adds on another one neder nizirut. It doesn't add on a whole multiple of what you had before. Two or three that preceded it. It's not multiplying by that and saying, oh, I want another two, I want another three. No. It just means I added on another one. Now the Gemara finishes off. Tarana banan. Hareini nazir. The person says, I am a nazir. Sumchus omer. If he articulates it in this manner, hain, achat. Hain means one. And now what we're going to see here is the Gemara here is using the Greek words for numbers. Hain, or one, is one. Daigan means shtayim, or the other gusar is daiton, which is from the word dai. Dai means two. Shtayim. Trigon, from the word tri, triangle, trilateral, those are three, shalosh. Tetragon, from the word tetra, is arba. Pentagon, from pentagon, is five. So what do the Rishonim say over here? The Chiddush is that even if you enumerate it in a foreign language, you're still taking on upon yourself nidrei nizirut, based on the enumeration that you did. With that acceptance of a nizirut works in the foreign language. And we don't say that you have to do it b'lashon HaKodesh. That's basically what it's saying. There are others who say that the way that he articulates it here, the way that it opens is Hareini Nazir. It seems to be saying Hareini Nazir Hain. Or Hareini Nazir Dagon. Or Trigon. But the way you could say it is that Hareni Nazir, instead of saying Hareni Nazir, he says Hareni Hain, Hareni Dagon. I am one, I am two. So here, what the Chiddush is, that we say that that is a Neder Nizirut, and he's accepting upon himself Nidre Nizirut, even though he didn't mention the word Nazir. That would be a bigger Chiddush to suggest that that is the case. Then it would become a Yad L'Nazir, because then you did not articulate clearly the word Nazir. So in that case, it would be a Yad. In the other case, it's just showing that foreign languages work. Now the Gemara digresses to a different din, but happens to use these Greek words, and tells us about a din, which is Tanu Banan. Bayit Agul, Dagon, Trigon, and Pontigon, Enu Mitameh B'Negayim. If you have a circular house, you have a house with two walls, which is interesting. Either the other two are open, or what you're saying is that it's semicircle, and then you have two walls. So you only have two walls in that case, right? Trigon, if it has three walls, or Pontigon, it has five walls, Enu Mitameh B'Negayim. That cannot be a house that accepts Tumat Negayim. Tetragon Mitameh B'Negayim. On the other hand, a house with four walls can become Tamei Tumat Negayim, and this is Gzerat HaKetuv, my Taimo. Lamato Omer, it says the word Kir Kirot, and Lamalo Hu Omer Kir Kirot, Terekein Arba. The word Kirot appears twice inside the Parsha of Negei Batim. In that case, when it mentions the word Kirot, it was unnecessary to mention the word Kirot, because everywhere else it says the word Kir. Why do you have to say two walls when you could just say one wall? You can use the word kir, and we have examples of where it uses the word kirot. So it says one time, in pasa nega bikirot habayit. The other time it says, vinea nega bikirot habayit. Those two times it uses the word kirot, we darshan. Kirot in plural, kir, kirot. It shouldn't be used kir, it uses kirot, that's two. Two plus two is harekan arba, that's four. And from that we get the gzerat hakatuv, that you have to be a four-walled house in order to accept nigei batim. Because again, the word kir appears more times. We're not just enumerating the number of times it says kir, because then it says other times it mentions the word kir. But we're enumerating it two times it's pluralized, which was unnecessary. Since that was unnecessary, we add those two together and say we have four, and that's the limud that you need four walls.
Why do we have to tell about it?
It just happens to be that the Mishnah in Negayim uses the Greek words, which again, in the time of the Mishnah, Greek was a common language. And therefore, the Mishnah enumerates these walls based on the same numbers that we're using here by Neder Nizirut. So Gemara just brought it down from the association and usage of Greek numbers. Not that that has significant, using Greek numbers in that case has any significance. That's just the way they describe the houses. The houses were in the Greek era, and they're describing what's a two-walled house, what's a three-walled house, and they're using those same numbers. It's interesting because this is in distinction to Sukkah. The Gemara also darshans in the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and other places that the word Sukkot, there we darshan that you need four walls to the sukkah, and then we have the limudim that take it down to whether it's two and plus or three walls that you have for a sukkah. Over there, we never say this drusha. Well, that means you have to have exactly those walls. We even say you can have a circular sukkah. As long as you can fit a square that is the requisite size of a sukkah inside of the circle, then it's a good sukkah. You don't need actual walls. So why over here by Negayim do we say the kirot demand four walls, whereby sukkah you don't have it? The answer is in the word. The word kirot specifically identifies walls. The word sukkah or sukkot is schach. Schach, the main issue is the covering on top, not the walls. The walls are just the mechanism by which we have the schach on top. And therefore, we don't demand that you have exactly these walls. We just demand that you have a certain size that will make it into a kosher sukkah. And with that, we end the first parak. Hadron halach, kol kinyuyeh.